Hi, this is Roberto. I see that almost everybody is online, and I see that the first point on the agenda is a little bit of blah blah from my part before we do the roll call. And so I would like to start. So this is the first teleconference for this group, at least that I can participate in my role as chair. And I think that in terms of aim of the call, I think that we need to agree on a schedule and on
Left.
our way to operate. I will rely in this first part of the life of this working group on the expertise of people who have done that in the past, and specifically Alan and Cheryl. And then we will, once we have done this housekeeping, then we will continue the work of this working group with communication and mailing lists and teleconferences strictly limited to the members of this group. Maybe if there are some different opinions on this point, we can discuss that on the mailing list and not use precious time in the teleconferences. Question to staff. Giulia, are you ready to do the roll call? Do you think that we have sufficient number of people on board? Are we waiting for making contact with some other participants?
Thank you, Roberto. I can do the roll call for you if you wish.
Thank you. I would like to do and start as soon as possible.
Yes, sure. Welcome everyone to the Board Candidate Evaluation Committee on Thursday, 7th November 2013 at 20 UTC. On the call today we have Olivier Crépin-Leblond, Roberto Gaetano, Veronica Cretu, Alan Greenberg, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Fatimata Seyesila, Murray McKersher, Ellen Strickland, Siranush Vadanian, Carlos Dionisio Aguirre, Jordi Paraguirre, Andrew Mack, and Mohamed El-Bashir. We have no apologies so far, and from staff we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, and myself, Julia Charvelin. May I please remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Roberto.
Thank you. The first thing that I have to learn is to mute and unmute timely my microphone. I would go to point number three on the agenda, which is role and operation of the ECEC. I would give the floor, as I anticipated in my introduction, to Alan Greenberg, who will explain a little bit how we are going to operate. Please, Alan, are you ready to do the presentation?
Yeah, I think Cheryl probably should go first on the actual operation of the BCEC because she's the one who ran it last time. I'll be talking a little bit about the things that the BCEC will have to decide on very quickly to allow the scheduling of the overall selection process. But probably Cheryl is best to go over the operation of the group itself, which I have no real knowledge of other than what is written in the rules.
Cheryl, are you...
If Yep, I'm happy to go.
Please go.
Okay. It's Cheryl for the record, and I think it's very important to recognise that this meeting where Alan and I are engaged with you as the Board Candidate Evaluation Committee is very much just an introductory exercise whereby you can get some of the benefits from the norms and tools that have been put together in recent times, which Alan has a particular handle on and will be focusing on. But I had the honour to serve as the chair of both what was then the ABSDT, which was the design team for the process the first time round, and for the Board Candidate Evaluation Committee, in other words, the committee that you are the new version of. It's essential, of course, to recognise that the activities of the Board Candidate Evaluation Committee, and of course it's your role to call for expressions of interest. I'm sorry, it's morning and my dogs are barking because public people are, you know, using the road at the top of the driveway as if it's a public access. I apologise for the background noise. That you call for these expressions of interest to come into you. You use online and telephonic meetings to establish benchmarks and criteria that you are going to set as requirements and go-no-go measures for evaluating the statements of interest or expressions of interest that you gather. You then go through a number of iterations of rankings and then you come up, and doing this in very short order, of course, there's a lot more in it and we'll discuss that next, with what is called a slate. Now, that slate is then published, and the opportunity then exists for the regional at large organisations providing that at least three of them agree to add people that you may have chosen to not put through to your slate, but who did in fact apply via your expressions of interest process. And so you do need to recognise that your processes are one that has to be short enough to allow for that iteration of additional people that may be able to go on at the end. And then, of course, the voting and selection is then done in a manner keeping with the current rules of procedure. I'm very keen to make sure that the Board Candidate Evaluation Committee is seen as absolutely sacrosanct in terms of its confidentiality. It is essential that you conduct yourselves with the utmost confidentiality, and we do need to be extraordinarily careful that you're seen to have all of the highest standards that not only meet but hopefully even exceed those that the ICANN nominating committee would put itself through. The other thing I think you need to realise is that there is this other committee, which is the BMPSC. I may have got the letters back to front. That's the current or modern version of what was the design team last time. And you will find that its job is to work in an oversight and complementary role. At the end of your process, you get a chance to debrief and hopefully make positive and negative contributions to help us build a better model next time. And it will be the BMSPC's role to not only act as an oversight for your committee's activities, but also to, and there I only mean by process oversight, but also to help you with the debrief build a better model for next time round. I'll stop there and I'll jump in again as needs be, if you don't mind, Roberto. I see that Olivia has his hand up, but obviously Alan also has some specifics to share. Thank you.
Yes, I would like to have Olivier jumping on. He had his hand on even before, but I didn't notice timely.
Thank you very much, Roberto. It's Olivier Cavallaro for the transcript. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, you can. Okay, perfect. Okay, thank you, Roberto. It doesn't actually matter if I was before or after Cheryl. I was just going to add a couple more things. First, I, of course, entirely agree with what Cheryl has said. With regards to the meeting today, this is a special meeting in that there are some people on the call that are not members of the BCEC, and that, of course, includes myself, Alan, and Cheryl. We are guests on this call, so I would like this to be reflected so we could be reflected as guests and not participants. That was the first thing. The second thing is also to let you know that I will not be part of any further BCEC calls after this one, except, of course, if invited by the chair of the BCEC in an advisory role in the same way as the role today. And, of course, you're free to invite who you wish to invite to the BCEC calls, as long as, of course, the measure of trust and confidentiality is not broken, since Cheryl very well explained just now. So that's one of the things I needed to say. The other thing is that I believe, and this is something which just dawned upon me a couple of hours ago, I believe that some of the members of the working group might not have their statement of interest published. And as you know, we try to make things as transparent as possible in this community. And I know that all of the ALAC have got their statement of interest published, and some of the, and I think all of the RALO leadership have their statement of interest published. I have not discussed it with anyone, but I believe it would be good for the members of this committee to have their statement of interest published as well. And there, I think maybe there should be a follow-up after this call on how this is done. I think some of you already have one. I believe that this is the link for the statement of interest. These were the two things that I wanted to basically mention on this call. And I wish this committee the very best in being able to select the best slate for at-large. It's extremely, extremely, it's a critically important task. And I just wish the best for it. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Roberto for the transcript. I would like to add one more thing. For sure, I would need advice and expertise from Olivier, from Alan, and from Cheryl. I hope we will have the time in Buenos Aires to have a little chat just to allow me to grab this expertise and advice from you. And I think that we will try to keep it as a minimum. Your participation to teleconferences in the future, also because you have a lot of other things to do. So I think that we can manage that in this way. So I would like to ask Alan now if you have something to add to this. Alan?
Thank you. Yes, I do. I guess the first thing is that all members of the BCEC really need to do their homework and read the various documents that both control what the BCEC does and how it sets rules and things, and the feedback from the last BCEC, the relevant documents are the ALAC rules of procedure, and let me put into the chat the URL which points to them. The ALAC rules of procedure, section 19, is the section governing the selection of the board seat 15 position. There is another document that's pointed to on that page also, which is referred to as an adjunct document, and it's the adjunct document number two, which is, or number three rather, which is talking about the board selection procedure. That points to a lot of the historic documents. It also contains a pointer to the debriefing from the last one. And there were a lot of comments that were made after the last process of things that perhaps should be fixed, giving some of the rationale for the decisions that were made. And I think in order for you to set what your rules are, and one of your first steps is going to be deciding what the BCEC rules are to govern your operation. They must be published and they must be ratified by the ALAC, but they're up to you to set. Very similar to how the ICANN-NOMCOM governs its own rules. And clearly you have to do that pretty quickly. And the rules that were used for the last one probably are a good basis. You may want to do some tweaking and adjusting to it. So that's certainly one of the first steps. The next thing, or the other thing you have to do in parallel, is to look at the schedule. Setting the overall schedule for the selection process is up to the BMSPC. But clearly, a whole bunch of the intervals within the process are for things that you must do, and therefore you have to provide some guidance for what you'll feel comfortable with. There's no point in having the BMSPC saying that a certain phase will be done in 14 days if, based on the belief of the BCEC, it's going to take 4 weeks. So it has to be rational, and we can't really kick off the whole process until that schedule is set. There is an absolute deadline, and I don't know what the penalty is for violating it. Heidi may have some insight, but the bylaws call for the ALAC to tell the secretary of the board who the person is that is selected 6 months prior to the seating of the director, and in this year that maps to April 16th. The operational deadline is for the NOMCOM this year to know who the director is before they start their selection process. So, you know, Cheryl could comment in her new position whether there is some flexibility, but according to the bylaws, it must be done 6 months before. And that sets the timeline starting at the end of November when this committee and the BMSPC were selected as to how long things can take. Now, to put it in perspective, the selection that was done in 2010 was done in 4 months, and things were pretty tight. This time, although we planned to start really early, we didn't, and we have a little over 5 months to work. So there's more flexibility than last time, but it's still a tight schedule. I think that's about all I want to say on the specific process. I do want to spend a bit of time looking at the scheduling, the details of the scheduling, because there are a number of intervals that you must tell the BMSPC you're comfortable with, and that you're going to have to do within a very short period of time. So I don't know, Roberto, if you want me to do that right now or you want to go on to more general things and then come back to that.
Thank you, Alan. I would like to add a couple of things and then give the floor to Murray, who has his hand up. What I would like to add is that to have an action item on staff to have a list of all the relevant documents that we need to be familiar with. And by doing so, I will rely on the inputs that you just gave us, Alan and Cheryl, and of course Olivier, if there is something. So it was nice to have the pointers, the URLs on the chat. But if we can make sure that everything is consolidated, so that we don't miss anything.
Roberto, sorry, I thought you were finished. I was going to point out that adjunct document 3 is, if we've done our job right, the consolidation of all the past documents. It should have everything in it except the wiki pages that are being used by this year's committee.
Okay, thank you very much. That's one step forward. And the second thing that I would like to do is to make sure that we have a deadline for the members of this committee to make sure that everybody has read all the relevant documents and that we have understood all what is relevant, plus that we all fill basically the statement the document that explains our interests. It will come to my mind and I will type it in the chat. This said, and I would like this to be done before we get to Buenos Aires, so that in Buenos Aires we have all these things done. Murray.
Yes, thank you. It's Murray McCritcher for the record. Just a quick question or suggestion from Alan and Cheryl. Are the rules and process for NOMCOM very similar to what you're expecting from the BCEC? And could we learn a great deal from just that process? As a new person, I'm asking in ignorance. Thanks.
Cheryl, do you want to try first?
Sorry, I've dropped out of the Adobe Connect room. Murray, could you just repeat the very last part of your section there?
So I'm wondering whether the process that takes place at NOMCOM is very similar to what is expected of us at the BCEC.
Okay, I'm happy to respond to that, as Cheryl, for the record. It is in a number of ways, and those ways are quite particular. You don't go into the deep dive that would be familiar to those of you who've gone through a nominating committee experience, because what you are doing is, in fact, as the Board Candidate Evaluation Committee, you are actually acting in a traditional nominating committee role. In other words, what you're doing, you're not appointing, so you don't go through deep dive and interview, but you do, in fact, create a slate for a normative selection process, which in our case has an electorate from the leadership in the at-large community and the ALAC, at least at this stage. So it's similar in terms of the outreach of the vetting of the setting of criteria and the matching of expressions of interest to that criteria. And you need to set a benchmark. The system, as she was built, allows for nominally, 100 percentage points for the absolute perfect person who ticked every box to the absolute maximum. Now, you will probably be wise to set something at least the north of 75, and I would like to think somewhere in the 80s.
as a percentage cutoff point above which you would be considering and below which you wouldn't. So in that way, it is similar to what NomCom traditionally does. But you're doing is putting a slate out for community to select from. You're not appointing and you're not doing deep dive. Does that help?
Yes, that's very good. Thank you. I'll review the documents that Ellen had suggested, and if I have any other questions, I'll get back to you. Thank you.
Yeah, I can add one or two things. Cheryl mentioned you don't do interviews. There's, of course, no rule that says you cannot do interviews. The last group did not choose to. It did not feel the need for it. That's the decision that you would have to make if you chose to do that. The rules, first a comment. Roberto said you have to read all the relevant documents, and that's actually a key word. One of the documents pointed to in the adjunct document is referred to as the white paper, which was a very massive documenting of massive amount of work that the ALAC went through and at large went through in developing this whole process. Those of you who are interested in the history may well want to go into it. That's not a document you probably need to carry out your work. So just taking that 100 pages off the list if you don't choose to read it. A lot of the answer to your question, Murray, is in fact in the current set of rules that the last BCEC put together for itself, and you will have to adopt with whatever changes you feel is appropriate. That already captures a lot of the things that are in fact similar to the NomCom process, and you know, I'm not quite sure how clear it will be from reading them, but since we went through this process once already, the combination of the rules the BCE set for itself and the debriefing may well give you a good perspective on what the similarities and perhaps what the differences are between the BCEC and the NomCom.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. Cheryl, you have your hand up.
Thank you. I just wanted to pick up on one thing, and that was with the mention that Alan just made to the debrief from the last BCEC. One of the things that you need to decide as a BCEC now, you have your 10 members and Roberto as an independent chair, and that's pretty much the lineup that we had last time. We had our 10 members and I served as an independent chair. Because I was also serving on the ALAC at the time, very deliberately did not have a vote. And you will find in the debrief material a proposal that says there may be something useful in having a casting vote if you end up with a vote that's occurred amongst your 10 members that has resulted in a 50-50 split, and I would suggest at least on more than one occasion. I just want to give you a little background, and I'm going to give you a little background in the utmost confidence, all right? We had a situation in the last BCEC, which is why that is in the debrief, where we went through on a particular matter, three runs of voting. Now, normally everything is done on consensus, on using the online tools where people allocate marks and rankings and all that sort of thing, but something occurred that meant we actually had to make a vote decision. After three times, it still came down 50-50, and that was with all 10 members voting. That's something, Roberto, that I would strongly encourage you to avoid, and there's two ways you can do that. Your committee could decide that in that circumstance you could have a casting vote, and that is certainly one way and I think quite a reasonable way out of that. You could decide that you are a voting member. That's a little more untidy and I wouldn't encourage you down that way, because I think having the ability to be an independent chair for this particular activity is very important. But let me tell you why we got into this situation last time. we had a unconscionable breach of confidentiality, and we had to fix up a terrible mess. And how we managed to do that split our group into in terms of decision. So if you ensure, perhaps by getting your members of your committee to sign an appropriately worded confidentiality agreement, there is one that the nominating committee uses that would be appropriate, or you could write your own, and that you as a peer group do not allow what was really a royal muck-up, that will solve you that problem. So be warned, bad stuff can happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. I thank you in particular for pointing out what a terrible mistake I have done in accepting to chair this committee. So before I get more bad news, I would like to move to the next point in the agenda. I think that we have discussed sufficiently about, in general, about the role and operations, and I think that on the mailing list, and then if I need some advice, I can email privately Cheryl, Alan, and Olivier. But I think that we should move to the timeline, because I'm sure that there are some questions on the timeline, and I think that I have some myself. I think that, Alan, you have drafted the timeline. At least I have received a message from you stating this. Is there anything that we should note in particular on the timeline, or shall I go quickly through the timeline from beginning to end and ask for comments?
Well, I'd be glad to go through it, and I've in fact figured out how I could share my screen and sort of give a live demo if you'd like.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Now, you all should have this spreadsheet is accessible on the wiki, on the 2014 selection wiki, so you could download your own version. But I want to show you, this is just a simple Excel spreadsheet, and it's a tool I've used when I've run other elections before of trying to figure out how to set the schedule, because there's a lot of different interactions. This is a schedule which is going to run over several months. It's easy enough to arbitrarily set times, but you have to consider what's going on when you're setting some of the intervals. For instance, in the middle of this process, you find the Christmas and New Year's interval, which a lot of people disappear for. So having a critical deadline in the middle of those or immediately before those might be problematic. There's going to be two ICANN meetings, and in particular the meeting in Singapore is probably going to overlap on top of the voting or something around there. So when the BMSPC sets the schedule, they're going to have to pay a lot of attention to this. And since you're controlling some of the input that is given to them, you also are going to have to pay attention to it. And if you look at the screen right now or in your own version, we're currently sitting around line number in the interval of 14 days that was allocated to line number 5 in the spreadsheet. That is, the two committees have been chartered, and they now have to do their initial work. And by the way, you referred this as a draft. I would prefer to look at it as sort of a prototype, because I'm not pretending to try to set the schedule, just to give you some overall structure that the decisions can now be made by. So you'll notice on notes on the period, I have whole bunch of them, six of them, where I said BCEC must agree to the deadline, because these are times that you're going to have to meet in order for the schedule to work. And the first one we look at in line six is the time from which the BMSBC publishes the final timeline. And currently that's set as November 12th, which is before the meeting in Buenos Aires. If we can't meet that, then other things are going to have to be compressed so that the final deadline is met. You'll notice on the 26th of November, there's a 14-day period from the 12th of November to the 26th. That's the period, 26 is the time when the BCEC issues the call for expressions of interest. So clearly by that date, you have to have finalized what is in the expression of interest form. Now, the last BCEC has given you a one that you may be happy with, or you may choose to make changes to it. And there may well be comments in the debriefing which will suggest changes. I don't recall, to be exact. You then have to set a period of time which you're going to allow the applicants to submit the expressions of interest. And you'll notice it says 30 days are allowed for that period. That's just an arbitrary number. It maps roughly to what happened last time. And I suspect Cheryl may want to give you a bit of debriefing as to what might be the reasonable times. The next time deadline is the deadline for after you submit the, after the all expressions of interest are submitted, the BCEC has to, through staff, send out requests from to references for them to submit their input. And I've suggested 2 days should be enough to turn that process around. Maybe it's less, I don't know. You're going to have to decide how much time you give the references to submit their input. My recollection is from the debriefing that last time the time appeared to not be long enough and some references didn't complete their input. So that may be something you want to think about. Next, there's a period of time, this is line 10, which is the deadline, that's the deadline for the references to come in. Line 11 is the 21 days that we're saying the BCEC has to announce the results. So that's the 21 days plus the 14 days, which you can read all the expressions of interest and start making your decisions. Now, typically, both the last BCEC and most NOMCOMs end up extending the deadline. I guess that's an issue of psychology, of people, you know, don't submit until the very last moment, so it's only at the very last moment that the group realizes they don't have enough applications. You don't really have the ability of changing, you know, whatever is the January 21st date when you announce the slate of candidates. So if you believe you're going to have to take the 30 days and give people an extra 7 days, for instance, that 7 days is going to have to come out of somewhere. It could come out of the amount of time you give yourself to decide on which candidates are you presenting, or it could come out of somewhere. One of the tricks you could play is you could, for instance, tell people that you're going to give them 23 days to submit expressions of interest and give yourself 21 days, and then extend the 23 to 30 and reduce your 21 to 14. In other words, the sum of these numbers is within your control. So if you're expecting that you're, because of the logistics, you're going to have to extend the time frame, you may want to build that cushion in right now, because we don't have much of a cushion in extending the absolute deadline, unless we get dispensation from the NOMCOM and the Secretary of the Board to do that. And I'm not expecting that. The periods after that are the BCEC announces the slate, the target date here is the 21st of January. RALOs have an opportunity to find other candidates. Now, the only candidates they can find are those that have applied to the BCEC but have not been accepted. If you haven't applied to the BCEC with an expression of interest, you cannot be added by a RALO. And then there's an opportunity for RALOs to get support from other RALOs, because a candidate can only be added at that stage if three or more RALOs support them. There's a publication of the final deadline, the final slate, and then a voting period. And the voting can consist of up to five or six different rounds of voting, depending on how many people you select. The last BCEC, in its debriefing, made it clear that one of the reasons that only three candidates were selected was to minimize the number of rounds of voting needed. You may choose to make that decision the same, or you may choose to make another one, but that will affect how much time it will take to do the voting. And lastly, there is the announcement, and you'll notice that since I changed, I changed something, and I'm not sure what I changed, but because I changed it, we have a deadline of the 30th, the 23rd of April. And does anyone remember what I changed? Let's see if going back fixes that. No. Well, doesn't really matter. If you make these numbers, small enough, then the red goes away and it says the election is good. In any case, this spreadsheet identifies the various periods that must be set by the BMSBC, and the ones that govern what you are going to do, you have to provide guidance to them for what the minimum times you feel is acceptable. So I won't belabor the point any more than that. I think that's the overall issue that you're going to have to look at relatively quickly so that the schedule can be set by the BMSBC, which meets tomorrow, by the way, for the first time.
Okay, thank you, Alan. I see Jordi, who has the hands up. Jordi, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Robert. Thank you very much for Alan for that very clear explanation. I have just a couple of questions that maybe are explaining all the documents we have to read, but just for, well, just in case. I understand that we can use the ICANN staff in order to communicate to the world that the period of to receive candidates is open, and in case we need to reinforce that message because we do not get enough candidates, we can restate that through the same channel. Is that the way to proceed, or is there another one? And then the same for the messages. Do we have to write the messages ourselves and say, okay, this is the message we want to communicate, or is it going to help us? And so this is the first point. The second one is about the background checks. Is there a company? Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I think with regard to that, you're in a good position in that everything was done 4 years ago. So you have models on which to decide, are you going to use that statement, you know, changing the dates, of course, or are you going to do something completely different? And I think you're going to have to do that in conjunction with staff. The actual announcement, and in some cases, I believe last time we used formal ICANN announcement processes, will be done through staff. The content of the messages, you have to decide either as a group or delegate it to some subset of the group.
Okay, thank you. And then the second question is about the background checks. For not company that provides the background checks, and so is that the same case for the board election candidates?
Can I respond to that, Roberto? Well, I will anyway.
Yes.
It's Cheryl for the transcript record. Thanks for that question, actually, Jordi. I appreciate that. It's something that you do need to be aware of. The normal and exactly the same process that the due diligence is done for the nominating committee selections, which of course, as you know, if you've been through NOMCOM, that due diligence is done between the deliberations of the NOMCOM in any year and their selections, including some backups for each of their selections, goes to ICANN Legal, and yes, the third party does the due diligence. It's very important that in amongst the things that you have on your expression of interest form and on your website and on your outreach material is that due diligence will be done on all candidates who make the final slate. Now, this you should consider as a cost and an impost on our ICANN community, because anyone who is on the slate could then be elected by the at-large community during our selection process and then be appointed to the board. You do have to have the situation where the due diligence is done on everybody who is put forward on your slate. And that is one highly motivating factor that you might want to consider, because if you put a slate of 10, that is going to be, might I suggest, a horrendously expensive exercise. And may indeed mean that we would have a lesser degree of due diligence. So you, Roberto, will have to have that thrill-packed and exciting discussion with ICANN Legal and indeed the Chief Financial Officer, just as I did. But it is far wiser to remind them that, of course, once they're on the slate, any one of them can be appointed by the community. So you've got to get ahead of the game. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl and Alan. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Cheryl. I see Olivier hands up. And then Fatima.
Thank you very much.
Please, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Roberto. It's Olivier speaking. Just a quick question to Cheryl. She had, was it a choice between a sort of five or three? There was a sort of consideration on how many candidates that they had chosen. How many candidates that you had put on the plate last on the slate last time?
Thank you. It's a question that we had a problem dealing with for a number of reasons, and it's Cheryl for the transcript record. We actually put four out on the slate, and then of course it was able to be expanded through the normal process. We really couldn't have much larger number. That was because of the compressed time, our need to meet some deadlines and us having such a short amount of time, and we needed to allow as much time as possible for the regional review to see whether three regions wanted to add people onto the slate. I'd like to think that this time round, everyone is familiar enough with the situation and confident enough in the process that your slate, be it three, five or even seven, and obviously I think the middle number is probably the better number, is pretty much, you know, accepted and taken as a carte blanche, but that the rules still allow for additional people to be added. I would suggest, however, if you keep to the dates that Al got in the tool, you do have enough time to do a reasonable iteration of getting any extra name in, and I would think you shouldn't probably go to the electorate with any more than seven names, but that's just my utopia.
Thank you, Cheryl. Fatimata, you have the floor.
Thank you. This is Fatimata for the record. Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Alan. Just a question of clarification. In the spreadsheet we have, you mentioned that the VMSPC will publish the final timeline on Tuesday, November 12th. Is this a simulation or is this the real date? And is it that after this, the members of the BCEC would work just to meet the deadline, according to the explanation you just gave with the simulation. I think this is a simulation you made to make us understand better the schedule.
Alan, I see your
That was the date. Sorry, I'm having a very bad echo. That was the date that ended up in that spreadsheet. Clearly, given that that is next Tuesday, it's not likely to happen. So one of the things that's likely to be, that date is likely to slip, and therefore everything else is going to have to be compressed a little bit because of that. There's nothing in that spreadsheet that is locked in except things that have already passed. The things that have happened in history we can't change. There is nothing there that says the rest of it cannot change, with the constraint of the end date being controlled by the bylaws. So I agree completely with you that the date of the 12th is not very practical. I have no other explanation other than you have your work cut out to you to get that published for you and the BMSPC to get the schedule published as soon as possible, so that we can go forward. But the 12th is likely not to be a date that's met.
Thank you, Alan. That was also my interpretation, is that that 12th of November means as soon as possible. I have myself a couple of questions and comments. I think that the publication of the final timeline, the slippage of the publication of the final timeline doesn't mean that we push everything down, because the period, the following 14 days period is BCEC decide on BCEC rules and candidate EOI. So that means that we can anyway start working, even if the final timeline is only drafted and needs to be trimmed in the details. The second thing is that in this timeline, all the activities that we have to do is I can recognize that there are some periods, some actions related to periods where we have a high BCEC activity, and there are some other periods where the BCEC is idle or more or less idle. I mean, the main action is on somebody else. Unless I'm mistaken, starting the 23rd of February 2014, that means step 14, line 14, the BCEC has not much to do. Those are activities that are going to be carried on by somebody else. Am I correct or not?
Roberto, you're correct on both points, and I should have pointed out the first. The days until the next milestone are additive in this case. In some cases, however, the periods can overlap. For instance, the BCEC can start reviewing the expressions of interest before you get the references in. So the actual time the BCEC has to look at the expressions of interest is longer. So yes, these are additive, and the periods can overlap. And you're going to have to do a more detailed, more traditional scheduling with overlapping lines to show that. So certainly that is the case. But yes, you're also right in that the period from which you announce the slate until the time during the next few weeks when the RALOs have to do some work, you don't have much to do. And as soon as the RALOs announce whether they are adding anyone, you have to then compile those inputs into the final slate, and that's really only minutes of work by someone. and then you're basically out of business for the rest of the period until the debriefing. I guess, and Cheryl may comment, there might be some exceptional circumstances that would call you back together to address some horrible happening, but there's nothing scheduled at that point.
Okay, thank you. We are just a few minutes away from the hour, and unless somebody has really strong objections, I will go to the last point on the agenda, which is next steps. Okay, what I would like to concentrate in the future is, if I may recap what has been said on this call. The first step is the statement of interest. We members need to fill in the statement of interest, make sure that is done. Then we need to make sure that we are all familiar with the relevant documents as soon as possible. We need to file a confidentiality statement, and I think that I need to work on that, what the text is going to be. I will probably be in contact with Cheryl, if she is agrees, in order to make sure that we avoid the pitfalls. Then I would like you, in the next very few days, to have a look on the schedule and give possibly by the end of this weekend any comments that you have on the schedule, things that you think that are unfeasible or difficultly feasible, so that we can, let's say, make sure that that we give or we pass all this information for the compilation of the to the BMSPC, if I got it right, for the final compilation of the schedule. And in particular, that you note the periods in which we are going to have peak activities, and that will run inclusive of the traditional Christmas and New Year vacations, so that you can make sure that you can make a commitment to be operational in that period and postpone your vacation, so to speak, after the 23rd of February 2014. So that's basically what is my recommendation for the next steps. I see Cheryl with hands up. She has the floor.
Thank you very much, Roberto. It's Cheryl for the transcript record. Just following on from what you're saying about the commitment, I did want to share with you something we did manage in our last BCEC, and I'd like to think it could be aspirational for your BCEC. And that was, we never ran a teleconference that discussed and agreed any consensus outcome unless each of the five regions were represented. And we also had 100% commitment to either consensus, calls for consensus, or the use of online voting tools or ranking tools. So whilst we did not necessarily have 100% attendance at all of our calls, we did have 100% commitment for list and online activities and, of course, the assessment. And I think that's something that your group should aspire to as well. There is a reason why two of you from each region are appointed, and that is to have a bit of redundancy. But I would certainly encourage you to not do any substantive work unless you have each of the five regions engaged. Other than that, I'm more than happy to stand at your beck and call. I believe it will complement my role as as chair of the 2014 NOMCOM. But do ensure, Roberto, if you don't mind, and I'm sure Veronica and those who are currently active, including Fatemata, in this upcoming NOMCOM will assist you in this, that your online application is one that takes the benefit of what has currently been upgraded for the NOMCOM, and that is so that that the form, online form, can be saved. The one we used last time and the one that's been used by NOMCOM up until now has not been able to be saved, and it's been quite annoying, so that will make life easier for you as well. And I do apologise for the background noise.
Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl. Just to add to what you say, I promise not to call teleconferences between the 25th of December and the 1st of January. In order to ensure maximum availability of the people. I think that I'm ready to close the call unless there's, I see Olivier, and I'm going to give him the floor. Last chance to have your hands up. Okay, Olivier, and then we close the call. Please, Olivier, go on.
Thank you very much, Roberto. It's Olivier speaking. So just a couple of more things to add. One is your relationship with the chair of the BMSPC. As you know, tomorrow we will have a call with the BMSPC, and because they are the warranters of the rules, and they're the ones who basically look at the process of how things run, I gather that you will have extensive discussions with the chair of the BMSPC, and it might well be that the BMSPC invites you, Roberto, or anyone that you've delegated for this task on some of the BMSPC calls if there is some work that the BMSPC has to do and deal with. So that's one thing. Second thing, of course, as you've seen, both Alan, Cheryl, and myself are happy to oblige and help with anything to do with process issues, etc. And, of course, you've got staff, at-large staff, that is here to help you out. Then there's also one additional thing, and that's the issue of confidentiality. Cheryl has alluded to this earlier. Of course, all of the BCEC's work is confidential, so the calls that we are having, including this one, are recorded, but the recordings are not made public. So the recordings will be available to, I guess, to members of this group, and the recordings are also there if there is any, and sometimes these things happen, anyone who is unhappy with the selections or the fact that they've been taken out or if there's any conflict or anything like that, the recording of the calls is something that is there as a confidential record of your dealings. However, and I realize that some of you are not ALAC members, so you might not be aware of this. But there's also a possibility to go in camera. And going in camera is effectively to ask for the recording to be stopped altogether. This is something which we have sometimes done on the ALAC calls, where anyone who was not an at-large advisory committee member would have to leave both the Adobe Connect room and also the call itself. And the... And effectively, the recording would be stopped. So all you have to do is to ask to go in camera. Staff would then confirm to you. And, of course, you don't have anyone non-member of the BCEC on the call anyway, so you wouldn't have to go through this motion. But certainly, staff would come back to you and say, okay, the recording is now stopped. You deal with whatever needed to be completely off the record, and I hope that you will not have to be entrenched in that position if you're not going to be in a position where you need to go in camera, but who knows. And then you can say that you want to go back and turn the recording back on, and staff will turn the recording back on, and you can give a quick explanation of what's happened
just afterwards and a quick summary of the discussion that took place in camera. So that's an option which is open to you as well. That's all, and I realize that time is ticking. So thanks and good luck.
Thank you, Olivier. I would like just to answer and ask the question that Carlos has asked in the chat about our next call. At this point, I'm not setting up the time for next call. I think that we will communicate by email, and next week a lot of people will be traveling to Buenos Aires in any case, and it will be very inconvenient to have a call next week. It's a bit unfortunate because we are tight with the schedule, but I think that our best bet is to have an informal chat as soon as we get in Buenos Aires, and then to make the best use possible for the time that we are there, and for people who are not coming to Buenos Aires to be connected via video conference, but probably once we are there. This said, I see Olivier's hand up, but I think it's still from, yes, I see Alan. And Alan, you have the floor, and then we close the call.
Yeah, thank you, Roberto. Given that a fair number of the people will not be in Buenos Aires at the beginning of either at all or at the beginning of the week, you may want to have staff do a doodle to set up when that discussion will take place in Buenos Aires to make sure that there can be reasonable attendance from those who are not there.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the problem why I would like to avoid the call next, well, anyway, I think we are all on the same page.
Yeah.
Okay, this said, I think that I will thank everybody for participating in the call. Thanks to the participants, thanks to staff for good work, and let's be in touch in the mailing list. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Roberto.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.